Please accept our apologies for the poor audio quality during the first reading, which lasts about 2.5 minutes. Regular audio quality is restored after the first reading.
The first reading for the third Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 3. While the lame man who was now healed clung to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's, astounded. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people. Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorify his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you denied the Holy and Righteous One and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. And you killed the author of life whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time of restoring all things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. This is the word of the Lord.
The epistle is from 1 John chapter 3. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still believed for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For the last 3 weeks, we have immersed ourselves in the cosmic victory of what is the fulcrum of the Christian faith, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, that's not my opinion. It is the clear witness and teaching of St. Paul. If Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Everything that we believe and confess about God, our salvation, our forgiveness, the certainty that we have of eternal life, all of it hinges on the resurrection. And it cascades and permeates every facet of our worship. Today's gospel is a point of fact of that. In St. Luke's gospel, the fact that Jesus' resurrection is always underscored by a meal. Jesus appeared to two disciples in Emmaus at a meal. They were prevented from recognizing him earlier, even though one of them, Cleopas, was the brother of Joseph. But they recognized him when he broke the bread at the table. The two rushed back to Jerusalem to tell the disciples, and the disciples tell them that Simon Peter had already seen him. While they're comparing notes, Jesus appeared in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." That's the Easter greeting. It is how you speak in the resurrection. Death is defeated, and the grave can't hold us. Sin is forgiven, life is restored, there is peace. And so we say to one another, "Peace be with you." And then, "You're such nice people," you say it back to me and with your spirit. The disciples are startled and afraid and doubting. They think that they have seen a ghost. But this is no illusion. Jesus shows them his hands and his feet, the wounds by which we are healed. They mark him forever as the crucified one, the one who laid down his life for the sin of the world. The wounds also authenticate him. This is the Lamb who was slain, but now lives. Jesus invites them to touch him. He is touchable. Bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. And that is why we believe that our bodies will rise from the dead, and we don't go on just as spirits or souls, because Jesus Christ rose bodily from the dead. I once had a member take me aside. It was one of those, let me tell you how it is moments, Pastor. And they said to me, you know, the body is nothing, but what really matters is the immortality of the soul, to which I kindly and gently said, no, my dear, no, the immortality of the soul is not a uniquely Christian doctrine, but the resurrection of the body is. And that's why we say it twice in the creed. We believe Jesus rose from the dead, and then we say, I believe in the resurrection of the body. So, Jesus, of course, was not only seen, but could be touched by the disciples. And then Jesus does something remarkable. He takes a piece of broiled fish left over from dinner, and what does he do? He eats it right in front of them. More evidence, ghosts don't eat fish. The flesh and blood Jesus is consuming a real piece of fish. Eating is a body thing, even in the resurrection. Now, I don't know how many of you have thought about this or whatever, but, you know, in the great resurrection, are we going to be eating food? Sure we are. Jesus ate. We're going to eat. So just imagine, we'll grab you getting together, having a nice sit down. I don't think it'll be In-N-Out Burger, but you never know. But as I said before the service to some Chicago guys here, it could be a Chicago-style hot dog. Don't doubt that. But there's something even more going on here. Something a bit fishy, as it were. Psalm 74 says, you crushed the heads of Leviathan. You gave him as food for the creatures of the wilderness. Leviathan, of course, was the great sea monster, the dragon of the sea, the devil. The image is that Leviathan is being served up as an appetizer at the Messianic banquet, which is why the people of Israel always had a course of fish at the Sabbath meal, and why members of the Roman communion traditionally eat fish on Friday, and why Jesus multiplied bread and fish in the wilderness. Jesus eating fish in the resurrection is a sign that he has conquered death and the devil, who is now served up as the first course. Fish as food never represents Jesus. He is the bread of life. He's the living bread. He is the Passover lamb, but he is not fish. Instead, he is the one who swallows death and the devil, as St. Paul says, using a food word. Death is swallowed up by victory. Then, of course, we also have table talk, as it were, just like a church service which has both word and sacrament. Only here it seems to be sacrament and word. First, the risen Lord Jesus validates the scriptures, what we call the Old Testament, Moses, the prophets, the writings, and he says, you know what the storyline is? I'm the storyline. It's about me. And that is, in fact, the key to understanding the Old Testament, because the entire Old Testament testifies of Jesus. Furthermore, the scriptures are also the record of the mystery dwelling among us, the word that made all things in the beginning, the promise to one man named Abraham that created a nation out of slaves, the word that brought freedom from slavery, that split the Red Sea, because embedded in that history of Israel all of its battles, all of its ups and downs, all of its successes and failures, and strengths and weaknesses, is this one message: that the Christ, God's anointed one, the Messiah, would suffer and die and rise on the third day. Centuries, literally thousands of years before it all happened, it was written down and handed on, all pointing to one very Good Friday when Jesus said, "It is finished." And then Jesus did something else that was quite remarkable. He opened their minds. They're standing there, seeing him eat fish. They have learned scripture from him. They've been personally instructed by Jesus for 3 years, their seminary education, as it were. And yet, even now, he must open their minds. And that's why, my friends, we come to church. To have Jesus come and open our minds that are otherwise prone to becoming steel-trapped, closed. He must come and pry them open. Now, the resurrection of Jesus is a historic fact. This is true. But it is much more than that. It is gospel. It's good news. It's a living word from a living Lord preached into ears that pries open our closed minds and turns hardened, sinful hearts to the forgiveness of sins. Through the death and resurrection of Jesus, though these are more than just history, they are our life and salvation and our hope of resurrection and life with God. The disciples then were sent and told whoever would listen what they had seen and heard, beginning in Jerusalem and as far as they could. Tradition says that John made it to Asia Minor, Thomas went to India, Paul, who wasn't one of the 12, took it all over the Mediterranean world. And in our time, the good news has come to our ears, as much a gift to us as it was to that first good news in the first century. The church still testifies to what the disciples have seen and heard, bearing witness to the fact of the resurrection of Jesus and the world's death and resurrection in Jesus. And then, of course, we do as well what you have just heard in the second reading today, the reading from Acts and the healing. As such, we minister to a suffering and dying world that so desperately needs the love and mercy of Jesus. Today in Bible class, you will hear of the incarnate compassion of our Savior from Deaconess Pam Bailey Silva and the work of Always Mercy in the construction of a hospice and palliative care facility aptly named the Rahema House. Rahema, of course, being the Swahili word for mercy. And so the church is always called to this vision that the body matters. People's suffering matter. People's pain matters. It matters to Jesus and it matters to his church. And this is why our reading today from 1 John makes us mindful of the fact that we should not just love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Jesus not only preached, but tended to people's suffering, and his church can do no less. So into this dying, confused, messed up world, it doesn't need religious opinions or mantras or methods or programs. It needs just one death and resurrection, the one with the wounds and the words of salvation, the one who has swallowed up death and the devil like a broiled fish, and the one to whom Moses and the prophets and the Psalms testify, the one who is here and present with us this morning, Jesus, our Lord and our God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.